People had a lot of respect for nature and anything that is put on this earth that the Creator gave us. We always were taught to thank the Creator, to thank Mother Earth for anything we took from there. This morning we had a ceremony around. We're going to have new health building built here in our community. So John Louie and I went and asked permission to use that property in whatever things there may be there, whether it's birds or other living things that's in that little bit of area that's going to be cleared. Bulldozers will go there and clear the land and knock down some trees and dig up the ground. And that's what we did this morning. We went to ask permission so that and to apologize to that we're going to disturb this piece of property there. That, and also to thank the Creator and to ask the Creator to bless this property where this important building is going to sit on, which will be our health center, that a lot of our people, programs come out of there, that they'll be working in a healthy environment. And so we have to humbly ask the Creator to bless that, at the same time asking for forgiveness for disturbing life that's there. So that was the practice of our people. And we want to maintain that. You just don't go and clear off a piece of land and not thinking about what was that land used for. Ask our ancestors to guide us, because their spirits are here. We ask them to guide us and to look after what we're doing, to show us the way so that we're not doing things we shouldn't be doing, to do things in a good way and a respectable way, to ask the Creator to help these people that are coming to do the building, that they will do a good job. And you know, so that's what we did this morning, and I was glad, you know, that's done, so that we can be grounded in the work we do, so that we can be focused and not go in there and be scattered. So you bring people, the key people, and you get into a circle and you hold hands and ask for that blessing. It's very powerful. It's very rewarding. It's very meaningful. To me, it is. And I was glad to see that happen. It's only the beginning. Once the clearing is done and the foundation is laid, we're going to have another little ceremony again. And then once that's done and it's completed, then we'll have our opening ceremony. Mm-hmm. So in different stages, you know, you have to stop and acknowledge what's been done.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and give thanks.
That's important.
It is very, mm-hmm. very important.
Mm-hmm. How did those kinds of ideas and values work when you go to some place like Rivers Inlet or to pick berries, places that were maybe not in your territory, mm-hmm. and where it was commercial?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very different. I think that's why my grandfather felt like he may be a fish out of water when we went down the States, because that's not our territory. We're only there because of necessity. We're there just for a few weeks, and you know, we need to give thanks to that too. We're there and thank the Creator. And that's what my grandmother did every morning, you know, get up and thank the Creator for this new day. thank the Creator for giving us what we have. A lot of that thankfulness, that appreciation on a daily basis goes a long ways. For what little you have, you thank the Creator for that. And that's how we did. We thanked the Creator before we went up Rivers Inlet. You know, that we'll come back safely and ask for guidance and come back and thank the Creator. He returned.
Mm-hmm.
People always took that time to give thanks. You know, never take things for granted. You always give thanks. Stop and think. Give thanks to what you have. And, you know, don't complain. Be humble. And we were taught a lot of that be humble. Don't show off. Don't, you know, boast. Don't be like this. And, you know, you were reprimanded very quickly if you didn't behave in that manner. You know, you come here and you sit down and talk to you. And kids listened. It's so different now. Attitudes have changed and, you know, it's totally different. I try to keep it alive. I know some people, you know, my age, keep it alive. And I think, you know, my own family are really good about, I think, doing things that way, that I think I've brought down my grandmother's teachings and a lot of people of her age that taught, lived, not so much teach, but lived, and you followed that example. It was not about teaching. And so sometimes I have a hard time with that when I hear people say, I'm going to teach you about this. Our people did not teach, per se. It didn't, wasn't a lot of lecture, but it was a lot of examples. A lot of legends and stories were talked about in the evenings before you went to bed, quite often. More times than not, you know, we didn't just go to bed without some kind of little story told or a little legend. And that was your classroom.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, what's the moral of this story? And you had to stop and think. The moral of the story is, if you do this or do that, this may just happen. And so it was done in a way that it was not structured. You know, you didn't sit down at this particular time and, okay, now we're going to do this. You know, we just came together. And after dinner, you know, after cleanup, we just, I guess, like turning on the TV and you're going to watch TV. Yeah. We didn't have those things, but we had something that I felt was really valuable. Really valuable. Other elders would come into our home, come for a visit, or they're staying, spending a few days there with us, you know, and you'd listen to them talking, sharing stories about their hunting or their fishing or just their travels or the boat they're making, and the women, you know, talking about their berry picking and preserving food. Yeah, it was a very busy. Our society was busy. A lot of learning from example. My grandmother was a real busy woman. She raised 16 children.
Wow.
10 of whom died. So she had six that grew up and had families. She was quite old. How old should she be? I would think she was in her mid-40s, later 40s, when she had her youngest son. And he died in the hospital. That was the one and only time she ever had a baby born in the hospital. All her babies were born at home. Of course, there was a lot of different diseases that came around, like during the smallpox, time. And a lot of people died, a lot of children died. She lost two children in one day. They were living up in Theodosia, and two of her babies were really sick, so they got on the boat to take the children to see them. There used to be a called her an Indian doctor. She was a psychic. She was a healer. She lived on Cortez Island in Aklahoos Reserve there. So she wanted to take the babies there to this lady, the
Is that
healer.
Squirrel Cove?
So, of course, they didn't have motor, they rode or whatever, however means they went there. And before they got there, one of the children died. And so they got there, and the other one died. It was too late to save. I don't know what kind of illness the baby had. But she lost a lot of her babies. Yeah, it was difficult times for people, but people, even with all that, people took that in their stride, and that's how life was. Just dealing with it and letting it go. I used to hear my grandmother wailing sometimes in the morning. And I used to just, I knew that was her. I was just a little girl then. I'd hear her wailing. And she'd come in and start the day. And she would, she'd explain to us as kids why, and she would talk about why she did that. And she used to say that she has to let it out. She would go out there and with her basin of water, her cedar branch, little cedar branch, and she would let it go. She'd cry, "It's breaking daylight." That's when she would do it, begin a new day. And I guess she'd wake up and be feeling really heavy with her sorrow and, her grief. So she had to deal with that, just like anything else. She would go out there and have her cry, wailing away, and she'd stop. And she used to explain to us that that is her medicine. She would wash her face in this basin of cold water, dip the cedar in there, brush herself, let go her pain, take some water, gargle with it, and spit it out there. It's cleansing from the inside, letting go. So she, and then she would come in and say, "Okay, everybody get up. Get up and start the day. We have lots to do today." So when she used to talk about doing that practice, she used to say, when we lose someone, we have to let them go. We can't hang on to them. If we hang on to them in a very unhealthy way, we're holding their spirit back. We're not allowing them to fly. We're a burden to them, to the spirit world. We're holding them down because they can see us and they see we are suffering, and so we need to let go,
mm-hmm.
just let them go, and at the same time ask them to help you, and they will. So you can't hold on to your grief, is what you're saying. Don't hold on to your grief. It's not doing you any good. It's not doing them any good that have gone and left us. And you're no good to anyone around you. You're going to walk around. You're going to walk around like wounded all the time. You'll be crying and you'll be moaning and you'll be depressed. And our people didn't know what depression was. They never went to the doctor to get pills or whatever.
Sure.
People get for depression, but that was how she dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to always talk about discipline. When you lose someone you love, that's when you discipline yourself. That's your way to make yourself strong. Don't let yourself go down to the ground. Pick yourself up. Be strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't allow it to overcome you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might as well have died then with whoever you've lost in your life, because you're going to be no good to anybody, to yourself. So you need to practice that every day. And that's why she used to do what she used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And be strong and practice good things, do good things to overcome that. That's the best medicine.
Mm-hmm. Did your grandmother go to the church as well?
She did.
So she would practice both those kinds of mm-hmm. spirituality at the same time?
Right. Yeah, she did.
Did she think there was a conflict? Or the priest might have thought there was a conflict, but did she?
I don't think she saw it as a conflict. I think our people adapted quite readily to Christianity, because they were always believers of a higher power, that there was a creator. And regrettably, I think, you know, that was used in such a way that it was not good for our people to abuse their faith in a way that a lot of our people had to let go a lot of their own practices of wellness and believing in a creator,
mm-hmm.
because those things were taken away and became narrow and strictly geared to the church, and this is how you must believe. They brought a lot of sin into the picture, and punishment and cruelty and all of those things, that it's a sin if you do this, that, and the other. So I can see myself looking back that was a conflict for our people,
mm-hmm.
but they were so taken in and overcome by this new practice in the name of God, that fear was instilled in our people, forgetting about our culture or burying it, because it was a sin to do the things that my grandparents did, or
mm-hmm.
you know, her parents.
But your grandparents continued to do that. Do you think that happened after their generation, that people began to separate the two?
Well,
or were they unusual, maybe?
They continued the teaching. They never lost the teaching. They never lost the practice. That they still continued the practice, maybe not as obvious, but they still continued and use it. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful for that. That our culture was a rich culture. And it can still be. We need to work it and to appreciate all the things that's out there.